Well, we're going to get right into the message. Let's go ahead and do that, shall we? You know how we work with a bulletin card, so let's take a look at that. I do have a joke, but I don't have time to share that. So the joke is on you. But we're going to get to the message because it's not really a Christian gathering if we don't get around the word of the Lord and see some things that are so significant for us. So thank you for the significant time. Holidays are not the same if you're not sharing it with people like we just described. And I want to specifically just welcome our live stream audience because we need a faith family. You need a faith family. I want that time when God calls me home that somebody's around my grave boo-hooing that I left. And I'm telling you, that's a very true reality that I see marked so often where there's just very few people that even know they've come and gone. But being in a faith family is very important. Let's give our best to Jesus. And this is the body of Christ. So you do what you do as unto people, you do it as unto the Lord. But now we study the word. Father, thank you for what you're doing and helping us to see and to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I can see right here that our sermon title today is Spiritually and Mentally Alert in an Age of Deception. That is the message that we're looking at today. We're going to just highlight some things that you need to be aware of. We would probably just shorten it and say there's a spiritual deception that is in society. And to be mentally and spiritually alert for that is what this whole message is about. You've got to be alert. How many have ever been scammed? You know that there's people that have been scammed, and a lot of them, and there is said by the Federal Trade Commission that they're some of the top scammers that call people and skim off their money illegally with deception are people that pose as business people or government officials or IRS people. You haven't paid an unforeseen bill, just send us this money. There are such deceptions that are out there, and we need God's help to be prepared. The latest, I'm sure you're aware, you've heard of it, is AI, artificial intelligence. The latest is that through technology, through robotics, that they can now glean your voice from your phone and send it to a relative with you crying that you need money because you just got into a big automobile accident. Send it now, dear grandma. Could you help me out, dear auntie? I'm now in jail and help put the bail out and it'll be your voice. Isn't that pretty horrific? It's terrible when we take a look at that. So we're dealing with deceptions that are out there, but that's nothing new. They're just working at it in a different way. So to be alert about spiritual deception, it's vital. To deny that reality will be destructive. It'll be destructive, and not just for you. It could be for those that you lead, those that rely on you to give wisdom and insight and direction. Could actually be even quite deadly. So we've finished off 8 weeks of going through overcoming our setbacks. I want to thank you, many of you, especially online, you say, boy, I needed to hear that. So moving forward, we don't want to just say, yeah, we covered that turf. We discovered some things about that topics that we went through. The topics were emotional triggers, anxiety, discouragement, loneliness, areas of insecurity or guilt. What do we do with those now? What if there's a voice of deception that comes back? You say, well, I'll have to kind of live with that the rest of my life. What if those things keep coming back? How do we deal with that? Well, we're just here today to remind you there is to be spiritually and mentally alert in an age of deception. So here we go, because it really is a battle out there. I know we're loving our freedoms, grateful for our America. Many people have struggled for our freedom, and we're grateful for that. But you are still in a battle. You're still in a battle. Here we go. Number one, we're alert by acknowledging we have a spiritual enemy. The Bible is very clear that there is an issue here, and to deny that would cause tremendous harm for you. To say it doesn't exist, to be ignorant of that, does not cause it to go away. Let's take a look, because it's always important for us to see the Bible speak for itself. 1 Peter 5:8 reads this: "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are." Now, look at the verse, because the Bible connects the suffering going on around the world to the devil. Now, that's important. Now, not all the suffering is caused by the devil. I know I brought some of it on myself. I don't have to say the devil made me do it. But that's important that we remember the Bible does talk about that. And it's even saying the same passage, don't think it's a strange thing that somehow you're suffering. Like, what's going on? It's important when you go through some tough times, because there are those occasions, you and I will think, well, what did I do wrong? I've been praying. I've been reading my Bible. I even tithed this week. Why would God do this? Well, it's important that we realize the Bible talks about a struggle that is going on. And there are two agendas that are out there. Satan influences and controls people. You can say, wow, is that true? It is true. We'll look at a couple of verses. But there's two spiritual agendas that are out there, spiritual agendas. There is God's agenda, and then there's Satan's agenda. I don't even like using his name. I don't even want to give him negative credit. But the Bible does speak about his title and his name. And some would say, well, I don't do God's agenda. I don't do the devil's agenda. I just do my agenda. What's wrong with that? Well, you should understand to not operate in the way God's purpose for your life. You could be inadvertently operating in a way that's quite destructive for others. So it's important for us. Let's take a look. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says this: A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, here we are told to look past the actual people, to not look at people. No one in this room or in your home has caused you the heartache. We're supposed to look at the real influence behind the activity that's happening. And what? It's Satan and demonic activities. So we're talking about being alert. There is a spiritual deception that is out there. Satan would love to control believers too. And I have seen him do that. Not that they get possessed. They just are ignorant of what we just read. They just don't think that stuff exists. And therefore, they cause problems and a dividing of great interactions. And there's such unity, and evil knows that we're mighty together as a unit. Everybody loves getting married. Marriage is wonderful. But all of a sudden, those marriages dissolve. How did that happen? Well, that couple probably forgot what the Bible says. There's a spiritual deception that's out there. And if that work of darkness goes undetected, there's really going to be very little hope unless somebody comes into a spiritual environment and says, listen, there's one ingredient you haven't considered in your hostility at home. I've seen that happen in church settings. Great churches, wonderful things. God's working. But Christians forget about this particular struggle. So to be ignorant or to choose not to consider that is very destructive. That's our message today. Number two, we are alert knowing there is an intentional attempt to deceive. There is just an intentional attempt. How does that happen? Well, works of darkness love to control people through deception. Let's just see here. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 44. Check it out with me. It says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil." That's not too happy to hear that. But and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So what you want to remember this, that a lie to any person always appeals to our human flesh. Remember that. Something about a lie just appeals. And we gravitate to that so quickly, so easily. People are not being woke because they want to be. They're blinded to the enemy. So it's important we get a chance to take a look at that. How do you reason 120 days of rioting in cities and no one says anything about that? That's pretty wild. Or you come along and you just take a look, the removal of certain basic freedoms, and there's no uprising. Or the fact of the matter is that people actually think that defunding the police is a good thing. Isn't that interesting how those things kind of roll out and nobody says or does anything? So we want to just remind ourselves to be careful about that. Satan hates the truth. He's a liar. He's the father of that. And many times when we're trying to grow and go with God, the setbacks can be we've entertained a lie and we can't kick it. And we need someone's help to just say, pray that lie off of me. I find that's not the heart of Jesus for my marriage. That's not the heart of Jesus for my family. It's important for us. So we're under assault through the media or Facebook or TV programs or sometimes even the governmental systems. And so that is the spiritual deceptions we need to be alert to. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me, because works of darkness uses people to deceive other people. Here we go. In verse 14, 2 Corinthians 11, but I am not surprised, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Now, just for a moment here, those who are deceived are used to help promote a demonic narrative. And what I find is interesting is that they honestly think they're doing the right thing. They just think that that's where they're going with that. Boy, you can see the beauty of how our society needs the Church of Jesus, because there is a deception that's really out there. So it's tough to even have a rational conversation, because you literally are, as followers of Jesus, you're talking with a light to the dark. You're dealing with the kingdom of God to the kingdom of Satan. You're trying to bring out truth to a lie. You're speaking about spiritual things to people that are just still fleshly. How do I know that? Well, I like how the Bible brings us understanding, but look at 1 Corinthians 2:14 with me, and you want to write these things down so you say, oh yeah, it does say that. In verse 14 it says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. And that's capital Spirit. And those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. So it's important for us. I don't know if you've ever tried to be all excited and really interacting with people about what Jesus has done. It's kind of like, yeah, well, good for you, man. That's just your thing. Good. But it's important for us that we must look past those individual things like Ephesians 6 says. So I realize it's very easy to get angry over political things or angry over governments or mayors or elected officials or the state of the nation. Just be careful about that. That's why you're called upon by God to be praying for our leaders. When was the last time you were in a group Christian gathering praying? When was that? Wow, it's really, our nation needs your prayers. If it is a spiritual thing, no amount of our anger is going to resolve anything. So I'd like to, if you want to change the world, I like the four-letter word, pray. You want to change the world? You pray. Let's go for that. Number three, hit a couple more. We are alert knowing God's word reveals to us what is true. If you are not currently involved in reading your Bible, you are going to be lion's bait. So you and I know we've been encouraging each other to read the word. Let's take a moment now and turn to somebody and say, get in the book, man. Just go ahead and tell them, get in the book, man. Yeah, that's a prophetic word. Get in the book. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. Don't you like that? It means God wrote the book. All scripture. I even think the word Holy Bible is kind of like, ooh, I feel good when I read that, don't you? Holy Bible. It's all inspired. Every bit of it. There's something here that gives us great bearings, but check it out. It goes on. It says, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So how do we test the truth? Well, read the word, and we're going to see we're going to apply it. How do we find out something's in error? How does it line up with the word? I like Psalm 119, verse 160. It says this, the very essence of your word is truth, and all your just regulations will stand forever. So many people, I don't know who you are talking with, many people don't believe in absolute truth. I'm just saying what I said, it's like, really? That's that solid of evidence of truth? It is. Now we have something that's called my truth. You know, everybody just, my truth, we'll base it on there. Well, that'd be tough, especially when people can't find their way back to where they need to be. It's kind of like getting rid of north, south, east, and west, and you're out there trying to navigate where you're going without a north or south or an east or west. It's okay. You almost feel like freedom. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. I am free until you can't get back to where you need to be. And that's called bondage. I'm lost. I cannot find my way. And that's why people need you and they need the word. It's important for us to see that. So in dealing with this area, let's hit our final point. We need to move on. Number four, we are alert in obedience to experience the power of the truth. You will be alert to experience God every bit when you actually do the word. It's so important. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 7:24. He said this, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. And I believe that. I believe that something about doing the word of God. Who wants to be just further educated? It's like, I know my Bible. But if we're not doing the word, you will be a casualty. Have you ever come across somebody that loves a particular automobile? They know everything about this brand new 2024 model. They like I know everything about it. And they sound so legit. They are professionals. But have you driven that? No. Well, how do you know it's going to do? Well, I just read about it. That's the way some people are. How do you know Jesus is going to do it for you? Have you ever put him to the test? No. Well, why do you talk it up? Man, why don't you be a doer of the word? Amen. And feel and experience the power of God. That's what we're going to be needing today. We are living in an age of deception. And I'm telling you, the young people don't want to just hear things in a public setting or in a church setting. There's got to be a difference why our God is a greater God than some other religion. So our God does miracles. Do I get a witness?
Yes.
So it's going to be important we get a chance and experience that. And I want to finally close off with this one last thing. And let's do communion together. We're going to fit that in. What do you think? Shall we do that?
Yes.
All right, all three of you. We'll just do it together. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. But you belong to God, my dear children. Don't you love the way John writes under inspiration? You belong to God. And you have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit, capital S, who lives in you is greater than the Spirit, small s, who lives in the world. And those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listens to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of what? And that's what we're talking about this very morning. We need to take a look. Obedience aligns our lives with Jesus and the kingdom. And maybe today you're needing to align your life with Jesus. That would be great. Let's take a moment now and let's prepare our hearts for communion. Let's enjoy and engage that. The message was simple. Let's be spiritually and mentally alert in an age of deception. And I want to just say spiritual deception. We need each other. We need each other. So, Father, we want to thank you for your goodness, that you're going to do something that's wonderful and outstanding. And for those that are with us online, or maybe a few of us that are here in the room, that we just know we need something to snap us out of the dreadful life existence we find ourselves in. We're not happy. So, Lord, we want the Spirit of God to come in, and we welcome. Would you take a moment and just say, Jesus, I welcome you in my life. I do not want to be a deceived person anymore. Forgive me of my sins of going and doing my own thing. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, let's go ahead and have communion. If you don't mind, I'm going to grab my communion cup over here. Hi, everyone. You're going to pull the top cellophane right off, and we're going to expose our little white wafer. We are obedient right now. It was Jesus who said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are showing or reminding yourself of my death for you till I come for you. Isn't that nice? That's why churches, most churches, have communion. To remind ourselves, Jesus paid it all. So you come with full expectation of everything that God promises you in these love letters. Everything. So as we lift our portion up, Lord, thank you for coming in bodily form. Thank you for bringing healing to our minds and to our physical bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and snap that wafer and participate together. We sure love the Lord. As you take the top off of the juice, it was Jesus himself says, this one's going to seal the deal. This is going to be the blood of the new covenant. I'm going to shed my blood so that you can be in covenant. I don't know if you've ever been written in to somebody's living trust or their will. It does not get enacted until somebody dies. Here's a New Testament, new covenant. There are promises in here for you. And this is what starts the process. I believe Jesus shed his blood for my sins, and I have accepted that. And now I am his. You are his beloved. So, Lord, as we lift our portion up, I'm certain, like me, I sure blow it. Do find myself wrong in my actions and attitudes. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you for being merciful. And we thank you for it, this wonderful covenant we're in. In Jesus' name, let's go ahead and participate. Praise God. Praise God. Well, dear friends, it's been a delight. We want you to enjoy a tremendous 4th of July. We're going to invite you to stand to your feet right now. We're going to close off with one last song. What a day! What a Savior! I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.